Spring deals at Ross will have you saying, it's a yes for me.
Say yes to trending looks.
Like tube tops, dad shorts, and mini skirts for less than online.
Vintage tees and beach shorts for a weekend getaway.
Save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Items and style vary by store.
It's a yes for you and your bank account.
Find your certified yes for me moment for less at Ross.
You guys know Sierra got married last year. It's a lot of work.
Oh boy, was it.
It's a lot to do. And one thing that really helped her figure out what to do first, where to access certain resources, how to get people to know where they were supposed to go for a wedding, Zola.
With Zola, you can discover venues and find vendors easily. You can message and book vendors right on their website. And truly, when I say that that was the first part that we had to do and also one of the most intimidating and hardest, it's so nice to just have them all listed right there and be able to talk to them right there and then.
They also have free planning tools, which is really helpful because you don't know what you don't know. And if when you go to Zola, you have a guest list manager, wedding website templates, a budgeting tool, because dang, can a wedding get out of hand real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It could all eliminate so much stress and you'll save so much time, all because it's like a one-stop shop.
That's so true. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable.
There's even a five-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch.
Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Hi guys.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Sierra.
We're ladies.
And we tangent.
It's definitely dead now. If there was a spider.
Oh my god.
I forgot that you weren't pregnant anymore and I was like, be gentle.
That's scary. That's a spider bite for sure.
It could just be that you like picked an ingrown hair.
I haven't touched my legs.
Well, now you're going to hyper focus on it and I'm going to need you to not.
Looks pretty bad though.
It doesn't look that bad. Okay. It's because you just freaking went at it with your fingernails.
What's up, everyone?
Hello.
How are we doing?
What?
Whoa, tell me.
This is the week before our Moment House show.
What? For real?
Yes.
1 week?
Yes. From today is our live show, our virtual live show. If you don't have tickets yet, momenthouse.com/ladiesandtangents. We are so excited.
Oh, yes,
and we have meet and greets this Thursday and Friday. So if you were one of the very quick ones to get a meet and greet, we're very excited to meet you.
Don't worry if you have anxiety. I have anxiety about it too. We'll just be anxious together.
We kind of thought about that. And because we've seen some people who bought the meet and greets and they're like, I genuinely don't know what the fuck I'm going to say to you for 3 minutes.
I might just be like panicking and staring and
or
smiling
crying.
At you.
Yeah. So we actually bought this card game that we're going to play for the exclusive episode that comes out on Friday, but we figure we'll also have it handy at the meet and greets.
Yeah.
And
so it's called, we can just play a little game.
We're not really strangers.
I was like, we were strangers. I think that's a movie.
Yeah. It's called We're Not Really Strangers.
Yes.
And we'll just like have an icebreaker card situation because everyone loves an icebreaker.
Yeah. That's fun.
Don't they? Anyway, you're going to hang up before the 3 minutes are up. You're going to be like, I'm going to eat this money because you guys suck.
Hey, how much does a polar bear weigh? Enough to break the ice high up, Sierra.
I don't want to play with you. I don't want
to
play.
That used to be my favorite thing to say to people at a bar, and then just walk away.
Would you say that?
For sure. Just to see the look
bar
on their face.
Bar Sierra is a different beast.
She has no rules. So I like to do things when I'm drunk. I'm very much like how I am with Corey when I'm drunk, which is that I like to just do things to get a reaction out of people and then leave.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So,
and we have another surprise.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys like Sierra's sweatshirt. Hey! For those of you audio listeners, it says No Spoons McGee and it's got spoons on it.
Crisscrossed.
Yeah. And it's got little L&T's on the spoon.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Jessica Draws
she did a couple sketches and she tagged us in them on Instagram, and we reached out to her and we're like, can we commission you for some of these?
We love these. Can we put these on t-shirts?
Yeah. So a few of her designs are going to be available. Yes. And we are going to be launching some merch during the live show.
Yes. So if you want to hear about more of the merch,
it'll be out for everyone like after the live show, but
we're just launching it for the show.
Yeah. We really appreciate everyone who is taking the time out of their day to hang out with us and spending their money on us. And so this is our way, like one of the ways we want to say thank you is just kind of like dropping it for those people first. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And giving them a little sneak peekies before it's actually out.
Sneaky peekies.
But it's something that, you know, we've been getting kind of harassed for about a year now.
Well, and that's the problem too, is we have taken so much time to kind of develop things and plan stuff out that we've said more things now that people are like, I would also like that on a t-shirt.
We're like, wait. We're just getting the things that we said 6 months ago on t-shirts.
Yeah. So hopefully you guys still care about spoons and stuff.
Yeah.
And weed in your mind garden and shoo.
A little bit of Savage Island.
Yeah. If you guys still, I mean, Savage Island seems to be a popular destination.
It really does.
Might as well get yourself a t-shirt or a bag or a mug or a water bottle.
Or a sweatshirt.
Yeah. I have something to tell you.
Let's hear it.
So, last weekend was supposed to be the photography retreat that I had, but didn't have. I don't think I went into detail about that, and I don't necessarily think that I will, but the photography retreat that I was planning fell through, but I knew no matter what, I was going to need a break in November.
Yes.
And so I was going to keep the cabin that I had reserved for the retreat. And I didn't care if I was alone in that cabin.
Oh, I wondered why you had that cabin. Okay.
Yes. Originally, it was for the retreat. So I decided I'm just going to take my family. My family and I are going to go. It sleeps 12 people. There's only 4 of us. That should be fine.
Yes.
It was just barely fine.
Really?
Because there's 3 rooms. And both of my children need to sleep in different rooms because of their ages. Like, they won't sleep in the car because one of them is annoying the other one.
Yep.
So there's 3 bedrooms. And so Forrest got one. Ollie got one. There was 3 beds in there.
He's like, you got to have my pick.
Yep. And then Shane and I slept in a room with 2. So Forrest got the like.
Oh, yeah. He got like the solo one.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
So there is this fireplace in the center of the cabin.
Ooh.
And
so dreamy.
We got there and we didn't know how to start it, and it was gas.
Oh.
So we're trying to find a lighter, whatever. We get it going. We sleep the next night. We sleep that night. Next day, Ollie and I are up, and I'm like, you know what would be great? A fire.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Yep.
So for this gas fireplace, you have to put in this key and you turn it, and that starts the gas, and then you have to light a lighter to turn on the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ollie's standing there watching me do this, and he watches mommy light herself on fire because I turned the gas on too high and I didn't realize it. Yeah. And so when I lit it, it went poof. My hair caught on fire. There's little bits up here.
I can see.
Don't look at them. My bangs are shorter now on one side, and I'm hunched over slapping my head trying to put the flames out, and Ollie is just mortified, scream crying, and I'm like, mommy's fine. Mommy is fine.
As I'm trying to put myself out. I am good.
I am fine. Do you see any other fire?
Honestly, it hurts, but
I smell terrible.
Oh my god, dude, because burning hair is
bad. So bad. So Shane was sleeping in the one room and I walked in and I go, I just want to let you know everything is under control. I did traumatize our son by lighting myself on fire, but
in front of him,
we are good. And he's like, is that what I smell? And I'm like, you do smell my hair burning. You do. That's what that is. I'm going to go get coffee. Do you want anything?
Do you remember the time I lit my hair on fire?
No. Was I there?
No.
Oh, why would I remember?
Because I'm sure I've told you this story.
Okay.
So,
someone mentioned, they're like, weren't some of these stories repeated? And I want to be like, hey, one, I have said before that repeating stories is one of my biggest insecurities.
Yeah, don't mention that. Fucking rude.
Two, We have ADHD. Yeah. So every story is a new story every time.
I forget what I say. Then she'll be like, hey, did we mention this in the episode? I'm like, that episode is gone in my mind. It happened a week ago yeah. and already it's wiped.
That's a different person.
Yep. I don't know her anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because then I'll re-listen to the episodes. I've been doing that. I've been trying yeah. to. And it makes me giggle. I'm like, yeah, we are funny.
Well, that's like when I will send TikToks that we've done. I'm like, hey, I just put this up just so you know. And like, I giggle at them like it's the first time I've ever watched it.
I'm like, damn, that was good. Actually, that is funny. So one time mm-hmm. I was... smoking the weed. Okay. I was with a group of older boys.
Okay.
Who I was trying to impress.
Yeah.
And so they were all smoking weed, passing a bongy around. Yeah. I mean, smoking tobacco out of it. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. Out of a pipe.
Yeah. And I had never smoked a bong before. I was like, oh, what do I do? Trying to act like sexy, but I was also kind of drunk.
How do you sexily do that?
Exactly. Okay. So I like had my hair pulled back and then I was like trying to light it, but then you have to pull up. So I needed two hands, yeah. I think. But I was also kind of drunk. Four Logos.
Oh, no jokos.
Yes. Yeah. So this was 2009. Okay. Yeah. The height of Four Logos. Yep. I was hammered already. So as I'm lighting it, a piece of my hair just lightly falls down and it instantly was like, and like the whole thing went up and all the guys in the room are fucking baked. So they all go, oh, but nobody helps me. They're just like, ah, and I was like, ah, fine. So it straight up, my bangs were like, I have a picture from that night and I'm so high because of course then I did smoke the weed.
Now that my hair is out of the way, let me get this.
And I completely stopped caring about my hair at that point. But in the
and
pictures,
I haven't cared about my appearance since.
No, in the pictures it's very funny because my bangs are like cut off, but I just tried to blend it with the rest of my hair.
Which is not easy to do.
No, it was bad. I smelled like burnt hair all night.
It was just honestly the worst.
I was like, sorry, everybody. Remember when I lit myself on fire?
You like literally tried to walk around like it didn't just happen.
I did. I was like, ooh, that was weird. Anyways.
I did that to a two-year-old.
Honestly. But which one's worse? A bunch of really high people? Or a two-year-old. But I feel like it's kind of the same.
I probably that was probably a trauma thing. Like,
no, yeah, that's a core memory.
Locked and loaded.
He's going to talk about that. My kid will bring up shit that happened when he was like two. I'm like, well, you remember that?
Whoopsie.
I didn't know that.
He's banking on you not.
Yeah. And so that's going to be, your kid's going to be like, remember when you lit yourself on fire in front of me?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Sure. I don't know why I didn't think, because I didn't even try and put my hair up. It was just all down like this. And
I'm sure you weren't thinking that the fire was coming out of the fireplace.
Well,
at your person.
Okay, so you're probably imagining a fireplace that's like against the wall.
Yeah.
This was a circle in the middle of the room.
Oh.
So you could walk all, this is a 360, you can walk all the way around this fireplace. Oh. So I stuck my head into it.
You were really asking for trouble.
I did. I guess I didn't know where the gas was. I don't think much.
I don't understand gas. If I can't see it, it's not there.
Well, it was there.
It is. That's the problem with gas that I have.
Yeah.
Especially in relation to fire. I don't like it.
I'm someone who doesn't read directions, and I don't care to listen to them either. I think everything's just going to be fine. Yeah. And occasionally with that mentality, you light yourself on fire.
Sure.
That's just what happens.
It really does. I've been there. I am you. You are me. Mm-hmm.
Also, they had a 90-gallon soaking tub outside.
What?
It's a hot tub, but there's no bubbles and there's no automate. There's no jets. It had some kind of
I'm uncomfortable.
It's some kind of like weed feed, like animal trough logo on it. So there's a chance that this was like a watering hole for cattle, but they just put it outside the cabin.
They were like, soak yourself in it or something.
They did. And it takes an hour to fill.
Oh my God.
And there's a hot water and a cold water. They're like, it'll pump like nine a gallon of hot water a minute. So it'll take about an hour. 15? I don't remember. I don't remember. I don't listen to directions or details. So anyway, it took about an hour to fill up.
Jesus.
And Shane, Matt and Amber were down.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all going to go sit in this soaking tub.
Okay.
Sure. And Shane was filling it up. And he comes in and he's like, it's ready. And so we walk out. This water's fucking hot. Okay. And so after like
steaming yourself.
We were.
Yeah.
After like a few minutes of sitting in it, we're like, we got to like sit on the ledge of this trough because this is very hot.
A lot.
And so then we get back in and we're like, why is it getting hotter? We're like convinced that it's really well insulated. We're trying to talk about how we can get one at our house and why it's probably a better idea than a hot tub in the first place. And then we realized that the water's higher than before.
It's still filling?
It was still filling. We looked at Shane and he goes, well, I said it was ready. And we're like, yeah, we thought that meant you turned it off. And he's like, no, I just meant that it was full. So it was still filling with hot water the whole time.
Ow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then he thought he turned it off, but all he did was turn the hot water on higher because we drained some and then turned the cold on to like make it better. But he turned the hot on. Anyway, lesson learned.
Ow. That's a soaking tub. So why is it better than a hot tub?
Because you don't have to maintain it.
Oh.
As soon as you're done with it, you it's like a
drain
bath.
It. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, because my sister has a hot tub and she's got to like.
It's a lot of maintenance.
It's basically a pool. Like, yeah. You got to like shock it sometimes and like clean it out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Levels.
Yeah. Ugh, levels.
Chemicals. Yeah. You saw what I did with gas fire. Right? There's no fucking way I could deal with that.
Touch chemicals ever. No. Chemicals and gas and things of the such scare me because 100% mm-hmm. that's how I'm going to die.
Certainly.
I don't pay attention to those. Nope. And I'm like, it's probably fine. Do, 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 do. I'm cleaning with the cleaner that's like really bad and my head is in the oven with it. And I'm like, woo. No. Well, that burns when I breathe. That probably isn't good.
But I'm almost done.
That means it's getting really clean.
Inside of your lungs as well.
Yeah.
What's happening with you?
Oh. You know, I don't know. I'm just here. Mm-hmm. I'm just living.
Yeah.
I'm just living.
Well, how was your Thanksgiving?
I mean, it was good. Mm-hmm. No, it was fine. It was fine. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. And I know it's going to be harder next year. That's the thing. Like, I don't know how people do it with like multiple toddlers because you have to work around nap schedules and then people are mad if you're not going to their house. But it's like, well, my kid has to sleep. And luckily, my kid is small enough that she slept pretty much the whole time. Yeah. But it was still hard because she was sleeping. And I knew if I set her down like at one place at Corey's parents, mm-hmm. I was like, if I set her down right now, she's going to start screaming and want to eat because she knows I'm about to eat. So I was like trying to get my plate with her. And then I had to eat with her in my hands because mm-hmm. I was trying not to like pass her around too much. So it was, I just know next year is going to be tough for the holidays because it's like, I can't remember how I did it with Noah. I really don't know. I think it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Going to places because I was like, this kid needs a nap, man.
Well, we did. Noah was at Christmas or no Thanksgiving because that's how we decided what we were having for Christmas. We had half the family on one side for turkey and the other half for ham. And we set Noah in the middle and we made him crawl to which side. And that's how we decided what we were having for dinner on Christmas.
That was fun. What did he pick? Ham. I knew it. I was like, I knew that kid loves ham.
For sure. That was a cognitive decision as a toddler.
Yes. But I think it's just, it's something to remember for people who have children. Because I'm like the only one.
Yep.
On my dad's or on my mom's side.
Say, hey, I am your dad's side.
No, on my mom's side that like has children.
Yep.
And then it's just difficult because people I don't think understand that like that was towards the end of the night that I went. We didn't really do much. We just went to visit. Mm-hmm. My one cousin was here from California, so I just wanted to see her. And it was just difficult because I think
people forget that like kids get overstimulated, and when they're mm-hmm. going from place to place, especially a new baby, mm-hmm. that she's going to be fussy. And I was yeah. upstairs most of the time breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. So like isolating myself, there's really no reason for me to be there because I was just stuck in a room right. alone mm-hmm. listening to other people have fun. So,
well, in our side of the family, like our dad's side doesn't yeah. get together.
No.
And so, but like, I think our side getting together would
have been easier because so many people have kids that yes. they get it. Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or our kids could play together. Yeah. Because that's part of the problem too, is when your kids are the only kids,
mm-hmm.
it's not fun for them because.
Right. So Noah went in the other room and was just watching TV.
But you're like, the only like connection what, they have. Yeah. And they're like, who are these other adults who I only see on occasion?
He sat yeah. there for like 5 minutes and had conversations. And there's my cousins. From California, her boyfriend works yeah. for like a toy company, so they were talking. He goes, I said, are you having a good time in here with him and Jaden? And he was like, yeah, we just have a lot, or we just have some really good conversations. That's what Noah said. And I was like, good, I'm glad. Well, great. You guys have some conversing to do, I yeah. guess. I'll be upstairs.
Shane and I got into a little bit of a tiff on the drive home. For the exactly that reason
mm-hmm.
of my kids being off their schedule mm-hmm. and them not, we banked on them sleeping in the car. They did not sleep in the yeah. car, and they didn't have their normal meal. They were around people they had never met before, yeah. Or if they had met them, it wasn't like enough for them to remember necessarily. And right. so it's overstimulation. It's different place, there's different food, like the schedule's weird, and
yeah, it's so loud and bright and there's so many people.
When that happens,
and
I start to have a panic attack.
Me too.
Because I'm looking at my kids like, I'm sorry, I can't do better for you, and yeah. I know why you're acting the way you're acting, but I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And I'm stressed because you're stressed.
Yeah.
But you're not responsible for my feelings.
Right.
And so when we were putting Ollie to bed, I was washing my face, which I've done a couple times, everybody.
Yay!
How do we feel about that? And Ollie started calling for me, and Shane was putting him to bed. And I walked in, and he goes, Daddy sad.
Oh.
And I was like, why is Daddy sad? You. Oh. And I was like, I looked at Shane like, this motherfucker, did you just use our 2-year-old?
How did you?
Well, Shane goes, I swear to God, I have no idea.
That.
And he was like, Ollie basically said, like, you need to talk to Dad because he's sad.
Whoa!
And I was like, hey, 2-year-old, can you stop eavesdropping me?
Yeah. Get out of our business.
Because, like, Shane and I started to have the conversation, and once I realized, like, this is a topic for not around our children.
Yeah.
And not while we're stuck in a car.
Right.
We stopped talking. So it's not even like we had this discussion in front of Ollie. Like,
right.
I don't know if he was, like, picking up on the vibes or
right.
what, but it was Shane and I looked at each other and started laughing like, what the fuck is happening right
How
now?
How do you know?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, man.
I know.
See, and Noah gets that. He can pick up on things too. So he knows that I'm stressed, and then he thinks that he's the reason that I'm stressed. And I'm like, no, you're being so good. I'm just stressed that you're being toted from place to place yeah. to place. So it's,
and I don't want this. I think that's the hard part too. And the topic this week is relational poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to talk about that in a second. But I think part of our issue, at least for me, is I remember what holidays were like for us. And that's not at all what it's like for my kids.
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah.
it's devastating to feel like the holidays that I grew up loving are not the ones I experience and not the ones I'm going to watch my kids experience.
Yep.
And that's one of the reasons we want to talk about relational poverty, because yeah, it's the holiday season and that's so fun, but also it's not fun for
yeah.
a lot of people. And it's we're in a really weird time. The pandemic was weird, but also like
the aftermath of it is weird because I don't know, like I had half of my people on my dad's or mom's side wearing masks, and mm-hmm. that was great because they were like, you know, it could just be whatever, but yeah. we want to wear masks just to be safe and things like that. But then my anxiety is still like, should I even be here?
Mm-hmm.
But how long do you go missing holidays?
Right.
You know, it
right.
was so hard for me to be like, do I seclude myself in my home forever?
Yeah.
Until this is all over. And then
especially when you're doing things in a safe way.
Yeah. Yeah. And trying to, I mean, as much right. as you can, but it's
right.
like, yeah, at this point, what's the right decision, which is always, as a parent, the hardest thing is, like, right. Am I making the right decision right now?
Right.
Because especially in the first few years, I feel if you make the wrong one at the wrong time, it could be like devastating, yep. obviously. Mm-hmm. So
you're like in a minefield.
Yes. It's just scary. It's scary. It's constant anxiety all the time, mm-hmm. and trying to make the right decisions for everybody.
Which is why I wanted to talk about relational poverty, because I know I talked to you guys about the book that I was quote unquote reading called What Happened to You by Dr. Bruce Perry and Oprah Winfrey.
I'm really excited. I said, I want to read that.
It's so good. I'm done with it. You can have it.
Oh, okay.
But I know I said I was going to talk about the book, but there's so much in it. There's no way to talk about the book.
The whole thing. Yeah.
But I had never heard of relational poverty before. Mm-hmm. And the way that they spoke about it toward the end of the book, I was like, this is something that I think would bring so many people peace or just understanding, mm-hmm. and so I wanted to talk about it, especially because there's not a whole lot about it outside of the book.
Yeah,
because yeah, I mentioned it to Sierra thinking it was a thing, and she was like, hey, not a whole lot on the Google.
I cannot find shit.
Yeah.
Like, it was so hard.
Yeah,
because a lot of times I found a couple articles, but mm-hmm. I really try to find like .orgs or you know, things
well,
like that.
And there was a lot of stuff even with YouTube videos, because you guys know that's my preference, that was faith-based,
yeah,
and that's not fair,
yeah,
and that's not realistic for us to shove a specific religion down people's throats, yeah. Because there is, I can understand why, and we'll get into that, but that's not the route this is going, just right. A heads up if any of you are like church drama, bell ring, no thank you.
Yeah, no,
but
not what I wanted to do, and then not what we where we
not
wanted
what's
to go
gonna happen here.
Yeah,
so no worries there.
Yes.
Wait, time out.
Oh, yeah.
Let's check and see if we have any sponsors.
I am obsessed with clothes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a problem for me. It's a problem for my closet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's why I'm so excited to be sharing Nuuly with our audience. Because Nuuly is a way to try out trendy styles, colors, silhouettes, all different kinds of things that maybe you've been interested in but are like gonna make your bank cry.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can rent them for a period of time and then you just ship them back.
For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing.
That's another beautiful thing, mm-hmm. because a lot of places may not have options for everyone, and this has so much diversity, not only in the brands that they offer, but also they have fast free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility,
plus the option to buy what you love.
It's fun, it's sustainable, and you can save because you get to try out a bunch of stuff that you like, or maybe you're like, I don't know, maybe I would like this, and then you get it and you're like, I don't think that's for me, but there's no commitment to buy it unless you really do love it and you're like, you actually can't have this back, Nuuly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping it.
Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off of your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code TANGENTS20.
Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code TANGENTS20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month.
That's NUULY.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code TANGENTS20.
Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I also want to say that, like, having a podcast is weird because there's so much world and our voices are reaching so many people in so many different situations.
Right.
And, the terminology that was used was relational poverty. I don't know if, like, using poverty in a way to explain something that's not monetary,
yeah,
would be offensive. But in case someone is like, don't use it like that, this is just how they've used it, so I'm regurgitating it.
Yeah.
If there's another way to say it, please. Or if you're like, Jerry, it's not a big deal. I don't know what's a big deal. So
we are learning.
Yes.
Because we keep getting told. So.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with being told. Yeah. But before someone, I don't like to leave space for people to assume my intent. And
yes.
I don't want to be disrespectful of someone who is experiencing poverty in regards to food or income,
sure,
or experiencing homelessness, anything like that. So
there was a big thing with relational poverty and homelessness. So
yes.
I have a feeling that that's like, does it talk about it in the book?
Not necessarily, but I could understand why
yeah.
it would. I'm going to start, guys. Here's the thing. Jerry's not the researcher for a reason. But we're going to do our best. I had one page and I just lost it. I had one page that I'm going to start with. Let me find that. Okay. I have a page that I'm going to start with and I'm just going to read like straight up verbatim what they said. And then I'm going to bounce around to some of the other points. But just so you understand why, when I was listening to this on audiobook, my brain went, oh my fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I get why I feel the way that I do now.
Yeah.
Because there's a
word for it.
Yeah. Okay. So think of the diversity within a small multifamily, multi-generational clan. Children growing up had numerous adults and older children who could model, teach, nurture, discipline, and care for them. Each person in the clan had a unique set of strengths, the right person at the right time. No single person was expected to provide all of the emotional, social, physical, or cognitive needs for the developing child. This is incredibly unlike our modern world. We expect a single working mother to be the one to throw the baseball with her 8-year-old, rock the newborn, read to the three-year-old, and by the way, cook a nutritious meal, help with homework, do the laundry, get everyone to bed, then wake up and get them all ready for childcare and school so she can go to work all day, only to rush home and do it all again, all alone. And like,
oh, this is going to get me. Damn.
Yeah. When I was listening to this, because I stopped reading it halfway through and just decided to listen because time didn't allot me to sit down and read, I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep going because this all goes into relational poverty. So this switches to Oprah. She needs people to step up, people who support her, give her some breaks, step in and do some of those things with her children. We're not meant to be isolated and alone. She feels overwhelmed or feels like it's impossible to do it all. It's because it is impossible. Dr. Perry says it's such an unfair expectation of our society.
I might need this tissue. Sorry.
No other society in the history of this planet has ever asked a single adult to provide the physical, social, emotional, and material needs of multiple children by themselves. Oprah says you're not meant to raise children isolated and alone. Dr. Perry says, absolutely not. We're meant to distribute caregiving among the many adults in our band, our community. In a typical hunter-gatherer clan, for every child under 6, there were 4 developmentally mature individuals who could model, discipline, nurture, and instruct the child.
For
that
every
is a
child?
4-to-1 ratio. 4 developmentally mature individuals for each child under 6.
Wow.
We now think that one caregiver for 4 young children, 1-to-4 ratio, is enriched.
Mm-hmm.
That is 1/16th of what our developing social brain is looking for. That is relational poverty.
Wow. Oof.
Right?
Yeah. Man.
So, and I don't even, I know that being a single mom isn't like everyone in our audience, and I'm not a single mom. You're no longer a single mom, but I think that if you're a work from home mom, stay at home mom, or if you're a working parent in general, like if you are just a person with a child who feels like they don't have 4 other functioning adults to help
right?
you.
Even if it's just, well, and we were just, me and Corey were discussing the lack of paternity care.
Yes.
I mean, obviously maternity care as well in America is shit, but paternity care is basically non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
Corey has a good job and he got a week off.
Yep.
A week. in that week, I'm still healing. Like, oh, yeah. I'm still trying to take care of me. And then all of a sudden he goes back to work and I'm by myself for, mm-hmm. I don't know, 12 hours a day.
Yep.
And I'm healing, but also have to take care of this person on no sleep by myself. Like, it was a shock yep. to the system.
Oh, yeah. I had with Ollie, Shane was home for 3 days. And one of those days, he still had to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Forrest, mind you, Ollie was not even, he was like 20 months old.
Yeah.
Shane got a week.
Yeah. And that's with Noah, his dad was off for the time we were in the hospital.
Right.
His first night back was the day that we got home. Like, I had to be home and I was 20.
Yeah.
And I had to be home by myself with a newborn. At that time, too, I had way less of a support system mm-hmm. than I do now. And it was like, when I look back and I try to think about how I survived when Noah was a newborn, I kept thinking this because as I was,
yeah,
you know, with Sawyer, like, reliving her newbornness,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking, like, I don't remember this with Noah. I don't remember. And I think I truly, like, blocked it out because yeah. it was so fucking hard.
Yep.
And like traumatizing. I did also have postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I literally just like can't remember it because it's not there anymore in my brain because my yeah. brain is like, we don't want to remember how you felt during right. that time. That was horrific.
You probably weren't focused on anything but just making it through.
Literally just surviving.
So when your body's on autopilot yep. like that, it's not like you're
really soaking in the moment.
Nope.
No. I was like, I don't remember his first bath. I don't remember any of this stuff that I'm experiencing with her, his mm. first smile, any of that, I can't remember. And it's like, yeah. because those were not the moments I was just like, let's make,
are we
make
both
it
alive?
To the next Good. Day. Yeah. yeah. Let's try to make it.
And I, when I think about stuff like this and I think about how, the phrase, it takes a village,
mm-hmm.
That phrase I have cried over so many times in therapy, basically crying out to my therapist, like, where's my village?
Yeah, where
is my village? And I don't want anyone in my family to hear that and be offended. Like, I obviously can't decide how you take my words, but right. I also recognize that when I was growing up, I know that we had a village.
Yeah,
because I spent days at my village's home.
Yes.
I was bouncing in between a lot of different people, and I felt like I understood what a village was because
yeah.
I spent time with my parents' village.
Yeah.
But those people also weren't working like my parents yes, are working.
That's exactly
it. They weren't working like my siblings are working. And so
I think a lot of times, like, I remember my grandpa retired when he was 50.
Yes.
He was able to retire at 50. Yes. So they could, and my grandma stopped working around the same time. They were able to be there 24/7 mm-hmm. with me. My mom is in her 50s and is nowhere close to being able to retire.
Right.
So she can't help me. She right. works a 9-to-5 just like everybody else. So and during that time, she can't be there.
Right. And I feel like we live in a society now that doesn't allow for a village.
No, you can't. Who's free?
Right.
Who has the time?
Right. Well, that was one of the reasons that I was like, I cannot be a teacher. I can't be a teacher because I have to do this until I'm 65.
No.
No, ma'am.
Yeah.
Certainly not.
I can't. And it's tough.
Because my grandma, I guess I don't know how old she was whenever I was born or whenever all my cousins were born, but like, she didn't work.
Yeah.
And so she was able to be there and to be childcare when she was needed mm-hmm. and to be one of those people, one of those other adults to help nurture and be another resource.
Yeah.
So it didn't all fall on my parents.
Exactly.
And now that's not the same situation.
No.
My sisters work full-time jobs.
Yep.
My parents work full-time jobs. Shane's family works full-time jobs. Like mm-hmm. that, it's just not realistic and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Because then what do you do?
And it, then you have the people that are like, why aren't we having, millennials aren't having kids? Why, we can't.
Right.
How are we supposed to?
The nuclear family is breaking down. Yeah, because we're dying.
Yeah, we can't fucking do this.
We are breaking down. And one of the things it says in here is one of the biggest predictors of your well-being is your connectedness to other people.
Yeah.
And when I realize that I...
Oh, that's good.
You're the only friend that I see.
Oh.
Like, week to week, you're the only person that I get to talk to.
Yep.
Really outside of my husband. And I'm so lonely. Yeah. And like, it's hard to say because I know we have thousands and thousands of people who listen and want to be our friend. And like, that's just not, it's not doable. I'm so grateful for all of you. And like, there is a connectedness.
Yeah.
Like, without this, I don't know
what, how we would function.
No.
True. Like, 100%, that's what I think about all the time. Because when we didn't have this,
right,
I struggled.
Right.
It was awful.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think friendship breakups are like so hard, because the older you get, the harder it is to connect. I wanted to read another part that's not necessarily about being a parent, but more so about being someone who either lives in like an urban setting or who moves.
Yeah.
Because that can create another issue with connectedness. Okay. Like I said, I don't know if this is the exact part I wanted, but I'm sure I'll get to it eventually. So Dr. Perry says, disconnection is disease. I believe we don't have enough quiet conversational moments listening to a friend with no other distractions. That kind of interaction leads to completely different quality of human connection, a different depth. I think we crave that, and many of us turn to social media to find it, but ultimately those interactions don't satisfy the craving.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't belong in the quote-unquote in-group, your marginalization can contribute to feelings of not belonging. And the reason I wanted to include the whole like turning to social media thing, I think our lack of connectedness with people is the reason that we started the podcast. Because
yeah.
if we couldn't find connectedness, we wanted to create it.
Like, we're going to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're here. And I know we've said that 1,000 times, but like,
to really wanted to hit home.
Well, to read in a book from a doctor who's made it his life's work to understand trauma and how rewiring and understand what happened to people can heal them, knowing that connectedness is at the core of it and realizing that we're trying to do that, mm-hmm. like, was just really meaningful to me, because sometimes I feel like this is just, I minimize it.
Right, me too.
Because people have straight up said to me, oh yeah, I wish I could get paid to sit on a couch and drink. And yep. I'm like, yeah, that's all I do.
Yep.
That's dude. Literally it.
Oh God, that's so frustrating. So these tissues got fucked up.
I'm sorry. Those are toddler tissues. They were touched by a toddler.
Good. I'm going to put them near my eye.
That's a bad idea.
I wake up with pink eye tomorrow.
When a person gets the signals, many of which are subconscious, that they belong, their stress response systems quiet down, telling them they're safe. They feel regulated and rewarded. But when they get cues that they don't belong, their stress response systems are activated. And don't belong cues are our default response to anyone we don't know, especially if they don't have the attributes of our familiar group. We view this person as a potential threat. So the reason I bring that up is because this could happen to anyone who is moving.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're living in a new place and you don't have that connectedness and you're not in a familiar spot anymore, you're assessing everything around you all the time for a threat.
Yeah.
Like, are you helpful or are you hurtful? Am I in danger or am I safe? And so that's going to exhaust you and deplete you of your resources. Mm-hmm. And your stress responses are activated all the time,
right?
Which means you're going to be in a heightened state,
basically of anxiousness. Like a fight or flight kind of mode.
Yes,
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah,
and that can be harder, to then make connections with people.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a lot of you have said that you've moved and that you've listened to us because you don't know anyone else. Like, I just want to validate you right now and say, like, it is hard.
Yeah.
I know that you probably have heard other people move away and they make friends and they do all this stuff. That's the exception. That's not the rule.
We've lived in this place for 30 years and I can't make friends to save my fucking life.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine.
Well, that's because where we live, I look around, I'm like, danger, danger, danger.
No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I can't imagine moving different states. That's honestly, I've thought about moving different states. And that's one of the reasons I panic when I think about it, because mm-hmm. I'm like, sure, it seems nice to get away from some of these people. But also when I get away from others, I'm like, who do I have then?
Right.
And knowing, if I'm sitting at home alone because Corey's working.
And knowing that connectedness.
Yeah.
Is so crucial
for security and safety and feeling
belonging.
Know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you feel like you don't belong, that's what he was saying, is it's connected. It's connected to depression and mm-hmm. anxiety. And I'm not saying that, like, you can heal your depression by making a friend. That's not what I'm saying.
No, but
it can heighten it. It can worsen and exacerbate all of those mental illnesses because you're alone.
Yeah.
And loneliness and isolation is a disease.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that I know Shane struggles with a lot. And
because he's not from around here.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
And he is no longer even in contact with the guys that he was friends with from back home.
Right.
And,
because how can you? I mean, we struggle with the people that we're friends with that live around here still. Right. With getting together and keeping the friendship alive. And then mm-hmm. I can't imagine if you're that far away and trying to keep it.
Yep. And that's the problem too, is like, because if you're not in the same stage of life as someone, we've already established you don't have help. You don't have a village. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't maintain some of those relationships.
Yeah. That's the other thing I struggle with, is how do I maintain a friendship when all of my friends have young children and are struggling like I am, and I can't be there for them because I also am with my children, and it's like we're all fighting the same fight basically, but separately mm-hmm. at our own places. Because,
and I'm just straight up say it, play dates aren't fun.
No, my God, it's so stressful.
I've not necessarily done a lot of them, but like the one or two that I've done, they are not fun.
No, it's not like, oh my God, moms just get to chill and drink wine.
You don't get to chill.
No.
You don't get to chill.
Especially with toddlers. Like, if you were, maybe your children were a little older. Like two toddlers?
No. Constantly stressed out that something's going to happen. Or I'm having to, like, prep my house because I want it to look a certain way. Or someone does get hurt, or the dog poops on the stairs. And it's like, that's a mess. I felt terrible at my sister's house. I left my coffee out. And she wasn't even home. I was there, like, my other sister was watching her son. And so I brought the kids over. I'm like, cousin play date, this will be cute. Freaking left my coffee out, and the dog knocked it all over the rug. And now I'm like, great, now I ruined their rug.
No.
I was, like, mortified.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is Dr. Perry talking about, like, the stress response thing that I was just talking about. He says, the unpredictability and insecurities of poverty drain the stress response system's bandwidth in ways that make opportunities to escape poverty extremely difficult to take advantage of. So I don't think he's necessarily just talking about relational poverty here. Mm-hmm. I think he's also talking about like food insecurity, employment, things like that, mm-hmm. where it is so much harder to live in a world when you're experiencing poverty in some kind of way, that you cannot take advantage of any of the resources available to you to help you get up,
back on your feet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you're so depleted.
You're drowning.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for someone to hear, because I think that people will look at someone who's experiencing either food insecurity, or struggling with unemployment, or struggling with homelessness, or who is struggling with relational poverty and not having connectedness, and will just say something as easy as, like, well, just join a group.
Yeah.
Just go to a mommy and me thing.
Uh-huh.
Just go to church, which...
not helpful.
Sorry, guys. Guess those of you who are listening to the Faith episode now, 2021 Jerry feels a little than 2019 Jerry.
Remember when
was that 2020 Jerry?
I think that was 2020 Jerry. Yeah. But remember when 2020 Jerry said she was going to turn me? Me thinks it worked the other way around.
I just feel
a little different. You're allowed to change your mind.
I feel different. I have.
Yeah.
I have. But I don't like these fail safes, like, this worked for me, it'll work for you, or just do
that.
This.
Yeah.
Don't give me solutions when you haven't experience my problem. Mm-hmm. Because it seems easy when you don't know
what's actually going on.
Yes, what I'm dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm. Just reach out. Just reach out when you need help. Well, there's a million reasons why I can't and why I didn't. And then also when I do.
Or why I won't.
And you shut me down. I can't. Then I can't do it again. Now I've already been shut down. I feel like an idiot for even reaching out and asking for help. And then I just don't want to be a burden. That's a trauma thing from my childhood. Mm-hmm. So it's so much easier to be like, well, just ask for help and then realize that I can't. I wish I could.
Right.
I try. Mm-hmm. It's a struggle for me to even try.
Right.
So.
Oprah then says, isolation and loneliness are an epidemic. Dr. Perry says, the best predictor of your current mental health.
Fuck, which I was this mentioned. Written by like around 2020 or because I feel like if yes. I was going to say if yes. it wasn't, then shit.
That... They talked about the pandemic. In
yeah.
As well.
Okay. Okay.
The best predictor of your current mental health is your current relational health or connectedness. Simply put, modern life provides fewer opportunities for relational interactions in a multifamily, multi-generational environment. The continuous social interactions provide a rich source of regulation, reward, and learning. And that's how we used to live. In 1790, 63% of our nation's households had five or more people.
Holy shit.
Only 10% had two or fewer. Today, those numbers have basically flipped.
Yep.
In 2006, only 8% of households had five or more people. 60% had two or fewer. I got chills for some reason. And in a recent survey of selected urban communities in the U.S., Europe, and Japan, up to 60% of all households were just one person.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So imagine trying to have connection with people.
Yeah.
Like real, intimate, one-on-one connection with someone when you live alone or live with one other person.
Yeah. That's wow.
It's not doable. No. And so you wonder, people are like, back in my day, the whole back in my day thing.
The world isn't
your
like that
day
anymore.
Doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it's gone. Your day's gone.
Right. And so the idea or the belief that we are going to be the same is it doesn't work. It makes no sense. And it's not helpful. It's not helpful for what we're dealing with now and what solutions we need for the future.
Yeah, exactly. And then you wonder why people, I mean, I'm going to bring it back to myself here for a minute, but you wonder why people stay in abusive situations or situations that like not even completely, you know, just like emotional abuse. It's just like you felt what it feels like to be lonely. And yeah, maybe that's not the best situation, but it's better than having no one.
Right.
That one person who's not being the best to you is better than having no one at all. And so you stay until you can't physically stay anymore.
Right.
And, you know, the world yells at you for it. And it's like, you don't understand which one's worse.
Right.
You know, being completely alone, doing this all by myself, or being with this person who's a terrible person.
Because I don't know how to have a relationship anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know how to connect with people anymore.
I've been isolated.
Yes. And my stress responses are so heightened and so reactive that I'm so tired.
Yeah. And God forbid you want, you know, the small feeling of like dopamine that you get being around that person when they're good is enough for you to want them to stay.
Right.
You know, so fuck.
It's a lot.
This is a lot.
I know.
Hey guys, we know that we're discussing a pretty heavy topic right now, but we are going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is back. Get ready for Way Day. For 3 days only, May 4th through May 6th, you can get up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar carts, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. Plus, everything ships free. Don't miss the sale to get up to 80% off everything home, even a garden gnome. Way Day starts May 4th. Head to Wayfair.com now to start filling your cart.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
So they go on to talk about why, because here's the thing. Knowing you have anxiety, depression, ADHD, any of these things, if you recognize, I believe I'm someone who is struggling with relational poverty, mm-hmm. what do you do now?
Yeah.
And also, I think finding those things out, I know that we cheer for each other when yeah. when we add a new set of letters to our mental health resume.
Yes.
But that's not always the case. And there is kind of a period of, like, I don't know if grief is the right word, but like there's a transitional period when you find out that you have PTSD.
Yeah. It's instance. Like, how do I make a new normal for myself?
Yes. What does my life look like now? Because it's almost like the doctor when you're at the optometrist, like I go to the optometrist, like I've been one time, but they're like one or two, yeah. two or three, one or three. It's almost like as soon as you get that diagnosis, mm-hmm. it's like clear.
Yep.
Oh my God. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. But now how do I live with this new eyesight?
It is giving me a migraine.
Yeah. Yeah.
This isn't what the world looked like to me before. And I'm having trouble
navigating now.
Yes. That this is actually what it is. Mm-hmm. And so Oprah goes on to say,
because I was going to
go ahead and interrupt Oprah.
Sorry.
I've always wanted to.
Suck it. Since
Madam,
I've gotten.
Madam.
Yeah. Mrs. Pruh. I just always think that her first name is O and then Pruh is
That's not right.
I know. She's the bomb. Okay. Since I've gotten diagnosed with ADHD, it's still weird for me to try to tell people like this is because of my ADHD and not feel like they're going to be like, okay, thanks for the excuse. How about you just do it? And I'm yep. like, well, okay, I'm trying. Mm-hmm. I'm just explaining why it's a little bit harder for yeah. me than, you know.
This is all a scenario in your head.
Well, for sure. But yeah.
No, I do the same thing. I have already taken so many online quizzes to be like, do I actually have this?
Oh, because my God, I've gotten diagnosed by two different people, two yep. different professionals. And I'm like, still don't believe it. Still think I'm just making this up in my head
yep.
as an excuse of why I'm messy, yep. lazy, disorganized, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah.
Because those are actually your core qualities.
Yeah.
Because there couldn't be a reason that those are.
No, I've just been told that, Sierra, you're just lazy and messy. That's mm-hmm. just who you are as a person.
Yep.
Gross. Figure out how to be cleaner. And I'm like, oh, well, I can't.
Whoopsie.
Turns out it's a personality trait.
So Oprah says, it's the recognition that what I've been through has caused me to have these kinds of feelings. And I'm not the only one. It makes sense. It makes sense that if you're an overworked mother of three or four with a history of trauma, you'll have trouble coping while trying to carry your burdens all by yourself. Mm-hmm. Your health is being compromised in ways that you don't even recognize. Mm-hmm. And then to realize that the reason you feel so overwhelmed is that you haven't found a good way to regulate yourself. This is why giving back to yourself is so important. If you aren't regulated yourself, how can you parent or work effectively? I know. I was like, ouch, Oprah.
I know. Damn.
Ow. And then Dr. Perry says, if we help the children but don't meet the needs of the adults, our work will have little impact. This is one of the most important principles of any trauma-informed approach. You have to help the frontline adults who will be working with the children and youth.
Yeah.
This shift in focus is challenging for some of our systems. Looking at you, government. In the child mental health system, for example, the patient is the child. The system's economic model typically doesn't include paying a clinician if they want to give time to the child's teacher, coach, or even parents. This is short-sighted. We know that a dysregulated adult cannot regulate a dysregulated child. Mm-hmm. An exhausted, frustrated, dysregulated adult cannot regulate anybody.
Yeah.
As you point out, if you don't give back to yourself, you simply will not be effective as a teacher, leader, supervisor, parent, coach, anything. Self-care is huge. Unfortunately, many people feel some guilt about taking care of themselves. They view self-care as selfish. It's not selfish.
I don't know why that made me cry.
It's essential. Remember the major tool you have in helping others change. whether you're a parent, teacher, coach, therapist, or friend, is you. Relationships are the currency of change.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to branch off from that. Mm-hmm. So I am in like a pregnancy group that now turned into a mom group for people who have had children the same time as me. Okay. And there was a woman who made a post. She is Chinese, mm-hmm. and she made a post about her live-in nanny and said something about this. And then the comments were like, why do you have a live-in nanny? Blah, blah, blah. She explained it's Chinese tradition. Again, I don't know if this is, but this is what she said.
Right.
It's Chinese tradition a lot of times to have a live-in nanny for the mothers for the first time. So the live-in nanny will take care of literally everything and just bring the baby to you when it needs breastfed. Mm-hmm. And like, will take care of cooking, cleaning, taking care of diaper changing, let the mom sleep, because they view postpartum self-care as more important than like that, whatever. And the comments from American women underneath her post, which really wasn't asking for opinions, but it was just like, I can't imagine that. I would feel, or why would you even want someone else taking care of your child, blah, blah, blah. Just basically mom shaming, guilting this mother into being like, oh, you're not as good of a mother because you're not the only person taking care of your child while you're also healing from a trauma that just happened to your body. And when she explained, like, it's a tradition, it's a thing that a lot of women do for postpartum self-care so that I can heal and be the best mother that I can be so that my milk supply can regulate itself so that breastfeeding is easier because I'm sorry, your supply goes down when you are stressed, when you don't take care of yourself with water, food, when you're not getting enough sleep. All of these things are the reason why it's so hard for so many women to be able to breastfeed is because we're trying to do it all as one person while also healing from the trauma of giving birth. And it was just crazy to me that it's almost like we've been brainwashed into thinking that if we don't do it all, we're not good moms.
Right.
Like, we are failing as mothers if we don't do literally everything.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yes.
When I was reading this, I was like, why the fuck are we all, as Americans?
Why is that not something that we should strive for? To have?
Yeah. That should be a cultural thing in our culture. White people's culture. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like an American thing, that we should look at that and be like, oh my God, that's a thing that we should do.
How amazing that they prioritize the mother in such a way.
Yes.
To best care
for her child for the rest of its development. For that first,
that's only the long game, baby. We're not in it for the long
game. We're not. It was only for the first month that she was talking about. Realistically, what does that baby need from us for the first month? Right. Sure, to be around us and breastfeed and things like that. But like, somebody else can change the diapers. Somebody else can hold it while you sleep. You know what I mean? Somebody else can cook your meals and bring them to you. I guess they're not. They also are like not supposed to leave the house for that month. Mm-hmm. So like, they're there with the baby.
Yeah.
It's just literally someone else is doing all the hard work. And it was just crazy to me how many women were like programmed to think that that meant that she was somehow a lesser mother, when it's like prioritizing herself so she could be the best mother she could be for her baby is not in any way making her a less parent than you. But we've been taught that.
Yep.
And that's crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I keep saying crazy and I hate that word because my therapist says not to use it. but it just is mind-boggling to me that
wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Bananas.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what it reminded me of, what they said there, is just like, that's what we're supposed to think. We can do it all. And if you don't do it all, you're not super mom. And
I'm so tired of being super mom.
Me too. I'm over it.
It's weird because when people like congratulate me or they're like, wow, Jerry, I could never do what you do, I'm like, that feels good.
I like
but
that.
But also it feels very bad at the exact same time. Okay. So Oprah says, I wouldn't be who I am without my trauma. So I own it. I claim it. And by doing that, I believe I have found a way to use it in service of others, empathy, compassion, and forgiveness.
Relatable.
But I wouldn't have become the evolved human being that I am still in the process of becoming if I had everything at my disposal or had everything I wanted exactly the moment that I thought I wanted it.
Sure.
Dr. Perry said, I feel the same way. It's true, though, that the cost of wisdom can be very high. Mm-hmm. And for many people, the pain never goes. Never goes. Good job, Jerry, not screenshotting the next part of that sentence. Anyway, I like that he said the price of wisdom is high.
Yeah, it is.
Because I think we've talked about that before, that like the lessons that we've learned and the experiences that we've gone through have been horrific, but we have found a way to use them to help others mm-hmm. escape and heal and relate.
Yeah.
So I think that that's good for other people to hear as well, to know that like your trauma doesn't define you and yes. it doesn't have to bury you. And then I also wanted to mention something else that Dr. Perry said. He said, you can't give what you don't get. If no one ever spoke to you, you can't speak. If you've never been loved, you can't be loving.
Oh,
and I think that that's important because there are certain things that I don't feel like I'm very good at. And I realize now it's because I've never experienced it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how. I need to be vague here. I don't know how to do certain things because I don't think I ever saw them.
Yeah.
And I hope that you guys can relate to that in some way, that you can connect that to something I'm not going to
elaborate.
But that was really reassuring to hear, because I feel like when you were saying, you know, you think that you should be super mom mm-hmm. and you think you should be able to do it all, but we're not meant to do it all.
No.
And also you cannot beat yourself up for not being able to do something that you were never taught how to do.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I like that.
Well, I didn't come up with it.
Well, it
Dr. Perry
really
did and Oprah. So like, I can't claim it, but it hit me really yeah. hard. So I wanted to share it. So the last thing I wanted to bring up was what healthy. Did I not screenshot it? What good am I? So I bet you're sitting there thinking, hey, Jerry, he's here. What does a healthy relational situation look like? I'm really glad you asked. Dr. Perry has an answer. So ideally, if a child is growing up in a relationally wealthy home with lots of opportunities for safe, stable, and nurturing interactions, they will be building their connectedness and resilience. This insight was a core understanding of all of the traditional child rearing and healing practices I learned about from Indigenous elders. He goes into how he visited different tribes and learned from them, spent time with them about how they deal with trauma and the importance of connectedness with them. So like it's...
Well, I was going to say also, culturally, I think there's a lot of other cultures that are really family and like
yes.
A system of adults
yes
raising children together is like the core yes. of their culture
yep.
and we don't have that, and I wish we did. I think that capitalism has to do with that, and being taught that everybody needs to work, and that's the most important thing yep. that you can do as an adult human
is just make money, is just throw it at your kid,
yeah, be yeah. productive in some way, and like yeah shower them with things instead of whatever. And not to say that like whatever, I know that it's hard and you have to be able to put food in mouths,
yeah,
but it's just sad to me that we don't focus as much on that, or it's been like almost brainwashed in us that we that that's not a like big focal point yes. for us in
that's not one of our core
living.
Values
yep. yeah mm-hmm.
that's not, we don't prioritize that,
right?
And that's unfortunate.
It is.
Okay. Their understanding of the primacy of human connectedness reflects a wisdom lost in our current world. Mm-hmm. How ironic that the cultures our modern world has marginalized mm-hmm. are the very cultures with the wisdom to heal our modern woes.
Damn. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the fucking truth?
Yep.
That's exactly what I mean, though. The people that we say that somehow get looked down upon seem to have it all figured out in that mm-hmm. in that sense.
Right. Yeah.
And I wish instead of looking down on them, we could learn from them
mm-hmm.
and take those values and value them ourselves, because
yeah.
I think it's important. And I think if you want us to keep going and
you
having
want to strengthen
children,
families.
Well, that's the thing. They're like, I just saw something. The government wants to give an incentive for millennials to have children. It's like, why don't you make it so that we can have a one fucking parent household again?
Maternity and paternity leave.
There you go.
That's quite the incentive, government.
Isn't it? That, let's, like, they want to give tax breaks. Yeah, healthcare. Let's do maternity, paternity leave. Let's make it so that we can survive on a one fucking parent, like, income again.
Yeah.
You want to make it so that we keep having children. We don't want another fucking tax break at tax time. Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's just make it so that, like, you know, there's an incentive to want to have children.
Right.
And not fuck them up.
Right.
And not fuck us up when we have them.
Yes.
Because I'll be honest with you, if I had to go back to a 9-to-5, if this wasn't our job, which, not to say that we don't spend a lot of time doing this, because we fucking do.
Yeah.
But it does make it so that I am able to stay home more than I would if I was going to a restaurant job again. If I had to do that, I could tell you right now, I wouldn't have had another kid.
Well,
there's no way.
And also childcare.
Yeah.
The cost of childcare. Sometimes people just work just to pay for childcare.
Yeah. So what are we doing?
Right.
What are we fucking doing?
Right. Absolutely ridiculous, honestly. Mm-hmm. So, sorry we gave you like two funny ha-has and then, sorry.
And then we got sad.
Sorry. That's just been really heavy on my mind lately, and especially like during the holidays. Like I said in the beginning, I remember the holidays being very different than they are now, and I realize that they're never going to be that way again, and it's just because there's been a shift in the world.
Yes.
And we are feeling the effects of no longer having a village.
Yeah.
And I guess even saying the phrase, I haven't looked it up, but saying the phrase like it takes a village, I wonder if that's
like in a way culturally offensive.
Yeah, like insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
If it is, please let us know.
Yeah, and we apologize for it if it
is. Yeah.
What we're trying to say though is just like it is taking from their that's a core value of theirs.
Yeah.
Because I believe that that's where it comes from.
And that's
from.
So fucking annoying then that like you're going to see. Oh, also, I said powwow at the beginning of the last episode and someone pointed that out to me that that's culturally insensitive. Apologies. I looked it up and there's what's annoying is in the dictionary, there's two different definitions. One of them being that it's a sacred indigenous ritual and the other being that it's just a casual get together with friends, but it says that's the informal use of the word.
Yeah.
And what it should say is it's the appropriated use of the word.
Yeah.
And like it's frustrating. I'm sure it's frustrating for indigenous people to hear someone who's not indigenous use it incorrectly.
Sure.
But it's frustrating that there are terms like powwow or like it takes a village.
Our tribe. Things like that.
Yes, that are appropriated and used so often that like it takes us an hour to even think, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's not ours.
Yeah.
And we and don't also, even use it like No one even helps.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't even have that.
Yeah. So well, now I have to go think about what I've done, honestly.
Yeah.
So thanks for hanging out, guys.
We hope that helped.
I hope that you can recognize maybe where the source of some of your anxiety and frustration and loneliness comes from. And I don't know.
Maybe it's
go
helpful.
To church or something.
Yeah. No. Join a mom block.
No, there are people on the Fangens page and they've been like having game nights and they started a Marco Polo group, which just made me cry.
I wanted to just like sneak in there one time and be like, what's up, fuckers? But I don't think I will because you've seen me on Marco Polo. Yeah.
And I'm boob out.
I'm not sure I'm ready for them all to see me like that.
Well, anyway, thanks for hanging out, guys.
Yes.
We will see you next week.
At our live show.
Yeah, also,
and next week we'll probably have a throwback episode.
Thanks for being understanding and working with us as we kind of shift and find our new homes. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate you. We love you. We will see you next week.
All right,
we're out.
Goodbye.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.